chicks, yeah, little chicks often get those stress lines, and they're usually caused by a temperature or some other environmental fluctuation during their first set of feathers. And so their next set of feathers usually grow in normally. But when an adult bird gets stress bars, it says something's wrong with their diet or maybe just some time of emotional stress, you know. But that's an easy thing to see, is those stress bars, little black lines going across their feathers, especially on their back.
What would the emotional stress be?
Living with someone going through a divorce. I don't know. Trying to think.
So we're talking about
bad times financially
caused by their social life with humans in the household.
I think so. Yeah.
So
or possibly
if your family life is a lot of drama, it could cause your birds some stress.
Oh gosh, yes, absolutely. You know how they pick up on our stress, and
right.
You know, you can open the door to your bird room and they know
Max is bouncing around eating and drinking from his water bowl from the other, from the top of it instead of the bottom. This is something, listening eyes, that I've talked about on air that Yvonne's touching on. I think one thing that I could point out here that could benefit bird owners, especially new bird keepers and aviculturists, is the noise. And these birds' hearing is 3 or 4 times more sensitive than ours. So when you go to the cupboard to get a coffee cup out and you grab the cup and just kind of turn around and flip that cupboard door back with your hand, bam, like we do. You know, we're humans, and that's what we do in our homes. That noise is 2 or 3 times louder than normal, and it can stress out your birds. Slamming doors, slamming cupboard doors, loud music, just anything really loud is louder to them because their hearing is 3 to 5 times more sensitive than ours. So noise stress can be a problem in a household. And I from my experience, I would say that it's very likely that noise stress is probably more than half of the reason that birds pluck, that they might exhibit bad behavior, that they might develop neurological disorders, even from noise stress. Would you agree, Yvonne? Because in the wild, they live by sound and eye contact.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so when
they're
captive in our homes, and we've got all this banging and slamming going on and rock and roll music and stereo and all this stuff that is not designed in their DNA to deal with, could that be a significant factor in their stress factors that actually affect their health?
Oh, enormously. And, you know, you said something that kind of surprised me. You said, you know, when you're in a rainforest, you don't see a lot because there's so much vegetation, and you actually see with your ears. You have to hear it. You have to listen for everything. You know, you hear more than you see. And if you're listening for a howler monkey, or you're listening for, you know, hummingbirds, or whatever you're listening for, you know, you have to listen for them. You can't search them out with your eyes, you know. And you said something about that, and I thought that was pretty interesting. But yes,
I read something about the eye contact, and I read something recently larger birds have more neurons in their brain. They're more intellectual and intelligent, perceptive, and all that stuff. But what I was reading about was that these macaws in the wild will be sitting up in the top of the rainforest in a big bunch of trees, and there are maybe 1,000 of them, and they just look at each other like 1,000 birds, sharing eye contact, and then they fly away. Like, they all look at each other and somehow understand, okay, let's leave. What I'm getting to here is their sensitivity. Their senses are so much more sensitive than ours, especially eyesight and hearing, like Swoop, mm-hmm. right?
Oh my, yes, yeah. Their eyesight is so incredible, and their hearing. You know, an owl, when they look forward, they see in binocularity, like when you look through binoculars, and their peripheral vision is just amazing. When you think of an owl flying through a wooded area and it's chasing a rabbit, it's keeping its eyes on that rabbit, but it's also dodging the trees. It's having to pull its wings in and extend them again as it's going through trees, you know, and it's following that rabbit all the time. And it's hearing, you know, it always hears its prey before it sees it. And so it hears a rabbit rustling in the grass, you know. Like you said earlier, it can hear a spider in the grass.
Right.
Yeah,
I remember you saying
100
that.
100 yards away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was new
the
research.
The owl can hear a spider 100 yards away, and that they even hunt for other birds. The owls hunt for other birds. They eat mostly rodents, mice, and snakes, and...
Skunks.
Oh, and
they'll
I
eat
remember
anything.
Telling you, I don't feel sorry for the skunks, but they are animals, and we're supposed to love them.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's one of the problems with when I get tired, I can't think of names and stuff. I'm terrible with names. In the Pacific Northwest, the real endangered owl, the spotted owl, the barred owl is slowly encroaching on the spotted owl's habitat. Now, the spotted owl is not endangered everywhere it lives, okay, in the West, but in a lot of areas it is. And so it's naturally kind of merging from the east to the west, but also, you know, when they halted, you probably remember about 15 years ago when the government says, oh, the spotted owl controversy, they're so endangered, you cannot clear cut the Pacific Northwest forest. Well, that really made those loggers really upset, and so what they did, and I was even told this by a Fish and Wildlife rep, they went and this is so against federal and state laws. They captured some barred owls and released them in that spotted owl's territory. And what will happen is those barred owls will either hybridize, so crossbreed with those spotted owls, and the government will not protect the hybrid species, or the barred owls will kill and eat the spotted owls. Owls will eat other owls, and of course they eat other birds, but
Ultimate night hunter, according to Ian Martin of the Florida Keys Wild Bird Center. Ultimate night hunter. And Yvonne has shared so much with me about Eurasian eagle owls, Swoop, and other owls listening audience, but it's extremely impressive when you realize just how well they're designed to survive, to be able to fly with such stealth. Their wingtips are barbed. So, and I remember, Yvonne, I remember when Ian Martin had told me that owls' wingtips are barbed, which results in stealth in their flight, so you can't hear their wings flapping. I remember when he told me that, I thought about Swoop swooping over the audience, and I thought, you know, I experienced that because I did not hear that bird move across the air.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It is.
You know, something I recently learned was you can tell the time of day that an owl hunts by the color of its eyes. Now, if I remember correctly, of course, swoop, the eagle owl's eyes have that red pigment in them, so they have those beautiful orange eyes. And so they are, you know, they hunt like dusk to dawn, okay? Mm-hmm. And your, I think it is the yellow or kind of beige-eyed owls, they hunt during the day, and your kind of gray-eyed owls are nighttime hunters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
but getting back to a bird's
related
feather,
to their ability to hunt during those hours.
Yeah, maybe. And how they see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I can tell you that an eagle owl's eyesight is as good during the day as it is at night.
Mm.
And if you're ever outside with Swoop or Bubo, you know, you can see them watching a butterfly.
Tell us
They'll
about
actually
Bubo.
Track the butterfly. Well, Bubo came to me from a friend of mine. He is a falconer and just a really cool guy. He's actually from Spain. And you mentioned World Bird Center just a moment ago, and their past director, who passed away just a few years ago, a very good friend of ours, both he and mine, Walt Crawford. He called him one day, and he said, "Hey, this egg's about ready to hatch. You want to come and get it?" And so he drove to St. Louis and got the egg and took it home and hatched it. And he had so many types of animals, he couldn't remember all the names he named them, so he just called them by their genus name. And so he hand-raised
Bubo. Ornithologist kind of guy.
Yeah, he was. He's a wildlife biologist.
Right.
And a really fascinating guy. And he's also a science teacher in Kansas City, Kansas now.
Like
but,
you. And like Ross Perry and Magic Exoxy Bird Sanctuary. And I'm thinking of all the people, Yvonne, that I know that are such experts and learned so much and have so much to share with aviculturists.
Yeah, and it's wonderful that people like yourself are picking these people's brains so that they can share that information with others.
I just love talking about. I love talking about this, and I love listening to people talk about their birds, whether you have one bird or 100 birds. I just love it. It's so much different than having a dog or a cat, and not putting down the dog or cat people. But in my lifetime, I have 30 years of experience with exotic birds, and listening to people talk about their birds is even greater than, which I'm kind of a geek, so I would say it like this. It's even better than reading the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Or watching an animal nature show.
Almost as good as National Geographic, almost. You get the great visuals with National Geographic, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I like it when I can tell a friend of an experience I had in the tropics, and they go, "Wow, I saw something about that on a nature show." You know, I go, "Oh, God, that's cool."
Well,
because they
nature.
Know what I'm talking about.
You're right. Nature and the Amazon. Yvonne, do you want to move on a little bit? What else do you want to talk about? Why don't you decide? Or I think we have a lot more on your list here. Hyacinths and the Paraguayan issue and the macaw project, Mato Grosso, commercial demand for feather art, trading feathers with the Hopi Indians. And listening audience, I'm just listing this out for you so that you might join us on another show. This one has gone a long time, and I know Yvonne has wanted to get on to finishing up her day here, but there's a lot more that we wanted to talk about here today. And what would you like to talk about with the time you have left today, Yvonne?
Well, I just have a couple other things, Michael, to mention about what feathers can tell us about the bird's health. And then when we come back and do this the next time, I really would like to talk about the birds in their wild state and their endangerment status, why they're becoming endangered, what are they going through, you know? Because I think that we all need to have a clearer understanding of it. And because if
habitat destruction, nest poaching.
Yeah, those are the two biggies. And then, of course, all the other little things, you know, the
grass fires
that come into play.
Habitat
loss. I mean,
loss.
It's terrible, you know. Yeah, it's horrible. But, yeah, if that's okay with you, I'll just wrap this up about their feathers.
Yes.
So, also, darken, you know, we just talked about the stress bars, the dark little lines running across their feathers, but also darkened feathers could indicate fatty tumors, which would relate to a very poor diet.
What kind of poor diet would that be?
Well, if you remember when Cockatoo Dundee, for example, came to us, you know, she had those two fatty tumors hanging from her rear end. She could not even walk. They looked like testicles. It was so sad. It just broke my heart. And she was fed a seed diet. Well, the galahs, that's what they're called in Australia, they should never be fed seed in captivity. And now, I'll say that in our shows, when she speaks on cue, she gets 2 to 3 sunflower hearts during a show. That's all we give her. Okay, and otherwise she's
treats.
On a very low-fat diet. Yeah, that's her treat.
Right, a lot of animals are trained by treats, and dogs, and all that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and we also train with love, you know.
Of course.
But she doesn't get grapes or apples, you know, things that are sweet-tasting that are high in sugars. So things that aren't sweet, like broccoli, cauliflower.
Tony Silva would love you. No. Tony Silva talked about feeding sugary fruits and how it induces, what we were talking about earlier, Yvonne, he said that feeding a lot of sugary fruits can induce breeding behavior, which could result in bad behavior, being bitten and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that earlier, And, you know, also, Amazon parrots are very prone to obesity in captivity. So their diet should kind of be monitored also.
What would cause obesity? Fattening foods?
Fattening foods. People that feed, like, seed-only diets for, you know, because they don't have the time.
Sunflower seeds are fattening. Peanuts. Nuts. Some nuts.
French fries.
Most nuts kind of fattening?
Yes. Yeah, things like pistachios are very high in fats. Of course, you know, the macadamias that we give the hyacinths are real high in fats and oils. The pecans and Brazil nuts are high in fat. I think those are your highest fat nuts.
I feed nuts. To my large birds, which I only have one now, it's my understanding, Yvonne, that the larger birds, the macaws, need a little more fat in their diet.
It depends on the species, you know. You take the macaw family, not all of them can handle as much fat. Even in the medium-sized parrots, you know, you've got your African greys. They need more fats and oils. You know, we've talked about the galahs and the Amazons, which, and the rose-breasted cockatoos, they can't take that fat in their diet, you know. So it just depends on the species. So that's why it's so important to know a little bit more about what your bird really needs.
Right, and do your homework.
And, you know, just like, right. If you're raising a toucan, you know, you can't feed that toucan iron things. You can't feed it green or yellow vegetables that are high in iron because they're very susceptible to hemochromatosis or excess iron storage disease, where your liver stores the iron. It'll shut the bird's whole body down.
Mm-hmm.
And even their diet, Michael, even this year, now, we're feeding our toucans differently than I've ever fed my toucans in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kept those birds for like 30 years. I've had different types of toucans. And now we're just mm-hmm. feeding them like 70% Missouri pellets and about 30% fruits and vegetables. And mostly
Do you want to mention who you get your pellet food from?
Well, we only feed them, the toucans, we only feed the Missouri, M-A-Z-U-R-I, which used to be made by Purina, but now it's made somewhere else. I forget who they sold it to.
Mm-hmm.
But I just get them from our dealer here in town. It's a Purina dealer. She orders it for me, you know.
And from my experience, I understand that you feed, most of their food is natural, like food, you know, veggies and fruits that are mm-hmm. donated to your organization. And
oh,
I've
yeah,
been there.
The,
yeah, and they chop that food fresh daily.
We do. We chop it, yeah. We get it twice a week. It's throw-out produce from a local store here in town, and it's even then, you know, we spend still about $6,000 a year on produce. And, of course, we have to buy nuts and the pellets for the other birds. And, you know, all together, it saves us a ton of money. It is such a blessing
mm-hmm.
to get that throw-out produce.
Right. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it. Well, when I was visiting, I remember your people they're chopping up all the veggies and I thought, yeah, well, I came in time for lunch because that looks good.
It wasn't a human salad, was it?
Well, your birds are eating really good and eating all the
yeah,
good stuff
I
like
do.
Yeah, and I and that's they should and I think a lot of people that have had birds for a while have that sentiment they want their birds to have the best. And I might mention Texas freeze-dried naturalfoods.com. Even though this is Yvonne Patterson's show, I would like to mention listening audience right here that you might look at what Suzanne Ort is manufacturing and providing for our feathered loved ones. Just go to TexasNaturalFreezeDried.com and you'll find lots of freeze-dried chopped food, which is really popular in aviculture. I've seen a lot of these recipes online. Suzanne and her husband, they have a big farm in Texas. They've been doing this, growing this stuff for a long time and chopping it up and freeze-drying it. I understand that freeze-drying is better than dehydrating, which turns...
Yeah.
And see, I've done my homework, and Yvonne's chiming in. It turns the... If you dehydrate, it turns the good sugar into bad sugar, the sucrose into fructose or something like that. And if you just go to TexasNaturalFreezeDried.com, you can find all that information and you can get some of this great chop food, and all you have to do is add a little warm water to it and your bird will eat it up and love it, and it's just as good as when it came out of the when it grew out of the dirt. So I wanted to plug that, Yvonne, while we're talking about food. And listening ice, I'm talking to Yvonne Patterson Burbach of Wings of Love, Inc.org. It's Wings of Love Bird Shows that you will only see in the Midwest, at, generally Mid-Continent public libraries for free. If you want to have Yvonne and the Wings of Love Bird Show birds at your event, your church event, scouting event, or any other event. This is a really wholesome, family-oriented kind of event that you are going to really enjoy. And I'm telling you, you're going to say wow more than one time when you see Yvonne and these birds that they talk. You know, a lot of birds talk, but Yvonne's birds not only talk, but they answer questions. They spell
and they
words.
Sing.
They sing. And they play basketball and they roller skate and spell words. And you will, at many of these events, get to experience Swoop, her Eurasian eagle owl, swooping over the audience. So majestic and beautiful and awesome. And you're not going to hear that bird flying over your head because of the way God created him and designed him. Ultimate night hunter, according to Ian Martin of Florida Keys Wild Bird Center. Yes, and I'm sure Yvonne, you can hear Yvonne chiming in. Ultimate night hunter. And Yvonne has two of these birds. She, you have another one named Bubo, right?
That's correct. Their name is Bubo Bubo. And they are in the great horned owl family. But when you put even a female, you know, female owls are usually, well, any bird of prey, the females are usually always larger than the males, about 30% larger. So when you put a female great horned owl next to an eagle owl, they're half as big. So that's how large the eagle owls are. They're huge. They're just hard to imagine. And, you know, the people, they'll say to me, oh, we got an owl that big in our field. Oh, you know, they may look big because we're just not used to seeing a bird with a 3.5-foot wingspan, but you get a bird with a 6.5-foot wide wingspan, like the female Eurasian eagle owl, that's a big bird. Or the or our national symbol, you know, the eagles, the bald eagles, you know, the 7.5-foot wingspan. Whoa. That's
yes,
a big
and
bird.
Listening audience, I've seen Swoop over the audience. And what is Swoop's wingspan?
Yeah, five and a half feet.
Five and a half, right. He's huge. And his feet are bigger than my hands. So, well, you should see it for yourself. And Yvonne, what else would you like to say? What else would you like to say to people that are kind of new at aviculture? Maybe they just had one bird for a little while, or even just thinking about having any kind of a pet bird. What would be your initial thoughts?
Well, for somebody that has one bird, don't think that getting another bird, that your bird is lonely and that getting another one will make the situation better, because it won't. It's harder to keep two birds than one. And, you know, I think one bird is a better pet than two birds is what I think there. And if you're thinking about getting a bird for a pet, talk to people like myself that don't sell birds. Because if you go to a pet store, they're going to sell you what they got there. And talk to somebody that doesn't sell birds, because they don't care what you get. They're going to be honest with you. Not that pet stores lie, but they're going to be honest and they're going to say, you know, take this blue-headed pionis. They're a great little pet bird, you know, and nice little size. They all, you know, there's 325 species of parrots living today. They all have little quirks and they have different little personalities. Let's match that bird's personality with your family's personality. You know, everybody says, oh, I want that bird that talks a lot. Well, maybe you get a bird that talks a lot and it's going to talk too much. You know, maybe that's not really what you want. And plus, a great talking
like
bird
Charlie.
Isn't always, that hollers and when you're on the phone or on, if someone comes in or
talking
you're trying to watch
time.
TV.
Cockatoos.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
they
right.
Talk.
Or an Amazon. Yeah. And,
yes.
You know,
and
they're not
they're
always
take
a good
up a lot
family
of your time,
bird.
Right.
Well, you get an Amazon or a gray, and maybe they only like one person in the family. You know, Maybe they like your husband and you're the other woman. You know, there's nothing fun about that. If you want a friendly bird that likes kids, by gosh, take your child with you when you go to look at a bird. And if it doesn't like kids, don't get it. You know, because it's probably not going to make you like a bird, like children, if it doesn't already like them. You know, just common things like that. But just do some homework and get the right species for you. That's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and talking to people that are not in retail might help with getting more specific information about different species. And you can find us on Bird Talk Live Online, listening audience, and on our websites, our Facebook pages. And I recommend something I've done over the past 7 or 8 years I've been on Facebook with Bird Talk Radio. Well, actually, Bird Talk Radio 3 years and about 7 or 8 years total that I've been online working with the bird community and trying to find my place here in this bird world and the bird community and trying to find a way where I fit in to help people and be a positive progressive part of aviculture is Facebook bird groups. I'm taking a long way to get to this, but if you search on Facebook for different bird issues and bird species by their name and by their species and sentences about what you're concerned about in bird keeping, you'll find there's hundreds of Facebook bird groups, and you can join them and they will welcome you, and you can get in there and it's like a living encyclopedia of how to keep birds. And that is the purpose of Bird Talk Live Online, we will help you be more successful with your bird by bringing all these people on air and reproducing and rebroadcasting all these shows, that you could get all this information anytime you want it from all these people that have experienced this.
Yep, you found your little niche, Michael. It's a great one, too. I wish you all the luck in the world. That's pretty awesome.
I tell you.
What you're doing.
My wife will tell you, I love this as much as being married to her, probably.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I just love talking to people about the bird love. For me, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, and nothing better in the world as far as keeping pets and that kind of thing, except my own family, of course.
There you go.
Being a family person and helping young people get ready to be older people is even better than having pets. But, having birds is the next best thing.
There you go. Well, I never had kids, so, yeah, I would agree with that. Well, thank you, Michael, so much, and thank you to your listening audience, and God bless you all, and I'll look forward to our next time together.
Thank you, Yvonne, and definitely we will be having Yvonne Patterson back again to talk more about her experience as a rainforest photojournalist and all the experience in Bolivia and Amazonia, the Kayapo Indian experience. I'm looking over all my notes here. Believe me, listening audience, you'll want to stay tuned and come back again and again to enjoy the experience of Yvonne Patterson Burbach and the Wings of Love Bird Show Birds. 40 years she's spent with this flock of
That's
beautiful
right.
creatures, and she's always got great stuff to help us with, and knowledge and experience to share with us. So, Yvonne, I can't wait to have you back again on Bird Talk Live Online, live from Kansas City.
Thanks, Mike. Good luck. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night.